apple. Do you think that was the link? Jesus told stories so that we would learn, remember, and interpret. I obviously remembered this story of the two sons, but I hadn't learned from it or been able to interpret it. And Jesus' first followers had problems that were similar to mine, but also different because we live in different cultures. It appeared that Jesus was talking about two sorts of people. Those who say, no, well, and those like will but, who say they will but don't. So in this parable, is Jesus really asking us whether we are no well people or will but people? If we've said no to God, we can always change our minds or our hearts and do what he wants. And that is a better response than being all enthusiastic and saying yes, but doing nothing about it. I know people in both categories, not that I'm judging, of course. Whoops. If I say to Oliver, will you wash your car when you get back home? And he says, I could do. What he actually means is, I could do, but I'm definitely not going to. Psychologically and possibly spiritually, saying I could do or I might do is actually a healthy thing to say. It doesn't commit you or close the request down. It gives you time to think about the issue. And some people need thinking time, or they are at risk of becoming will-buts. Their mouth has promised something that their mind needed to consider first. Job done. Nice short sermon. Or is it? Remember, we should always look around the passage that is being read. And the video explained that unlike most other times when Jesus was telling parables, it wasn't to crowds of people. It wasn't to enlighten the disciples. It was to answer the chief priests and elders who had asked him a straightforward question. But when he reflected it back to them, they didn't want to answer it. This story is found in Matthew 21, and I'm going to give you a very brief rundown. It begins with what we call Palm Sunday, which will be coming up. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. You need to remember that Matthew's driving force is to show that Jesus definitely was, and indubitably is, the long-awaited Messiah. And the crowds, as I'm sure you remember, absolutely loved him. They threw down their cloaks, and they only had one. They're not like us. Jesus then goes into the temple and rants and raves, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of bank robbers. Sorry, in joke. David squeezed in a bit of healing. I'm sorry, not David. I looked at David, sorry. Sorry, darling. Jesus squeezed in a bit of healing. And then he spent the night in Bethany, and next morning he cursed the fig tree, which is another possibly baffling bit of the Bible, but just believe me, it makes a symbolic point. And then we're heading close to today's parable. The chief priests and elders question Jesus, who does your authority come from? And I think, open brackets, why are you so popular? Close brackets. Who is this upstart rabbi who's loved by the masses and then takes a whip to drive the money changers in the temple out? Then our parable. And it's followed by two more parables that make similar points. Because Jesus shows, through the medium of storytelling, that because the religious leaders have rejected him, judgment will fall on the Jewish people. And in our parable, the leaders are the second son who paid lip service to obedience but didn't actually do the will of the Father. In fact, worse, these religious leaders are less righteous than sinners who have heard the message, truly repent, and then follow God's will. Now, I said earlier that I didn't mean that obvious parable about two sons, but there are parallels. The younger son did dire things, yet returned to his father and repented, and was received with open arms and a fatted calf. The older son, who'd never left the family home, held resentment in his heart and was possibly not doing his father's will except for his own selfish gain. So to conclude this sermon, which hopefully helps us all to be not, sorry, helps us not to be, too many negatives, which helps us not to be no wells or indeed will buts, but instead people who pause and think and give an honest answer and then act. Or better still, let us be people who pause to pray, give an honest answer and then act. Let's go back to the apple. If you cut it open, what do you see? Whoops. Oh, there were pictures. That shows you what Matthew's gospel is all about. Sorry. Apple. I tried. It wasn't so clear cut, so I pinched that one from the internet. And to use an old Christian cliche, God loves us as we are, but he loves us far too much to leave us that way. We are works in progress. Amen.